like.
Good evening, everybody. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Natalie, one of us in the pledge.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Natalie. Let the record show that all the directors are present tonight. Item 3, agenda approval. So I approve the agenda. And let's start off with public comments.
I think it would be nice, John Lanoux, I think it would be nice if all the board members and even everybody that's up there at the table had nameplates. So maybe that's something that we might put on the schedule for this year. Thank you.
Thank you, yep. John.
Good evening. My name is Bob Hinton. I'm a 50-year resident of Rattwood, 20-year fire chief here. And I had 38 years as a firefighter. I want to bring up the subject tonight of what I consider a clear and present danger to the community. Lone Pine is pretty well safe for now, but the area is part of the Lone Pine Fire, as we know, burned all the way down to Highway 2, down the road. The area I'm concerned about is on the north side of Highway 2, from Desert Front Road up to the Sheep Creek Wash. It has all the aspects of doing great damage to the community. We know we are in a drought condition. We don't know when we're coming out. That area has a fire road. It has the slope, upward slope, to carry the fire. It has the type of materials that will preheat as it goes, and the fire will build rapidly as it comes. In my 50 years of being here, that has never burned. I don't know how long before that it has not burned. And I think that if it were to start down in the desert front area or any place in between, I believe there's a very good chance that we could lose part of the village. If it gets into the trees on a crown fire, we could definitely be in deep stuff. I believe that the Forest Service is responsible for that area, except for the area where Sheep Creek Water has their pumps. And I would like to see this organization, Fire Safety Council, and the Angeles Forest get together and possibly CDF, and see if we can't get some fire breaks put into that place. I think it is pretty much our only chance if that thing catches on fire. And there again, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to go at some point. We know that. When you look at the resources available for a brush fire that can rapidly become that magnitude to be a danger to the village, you're talking about major resources as much as 30 minutes away. It's going to take it time to call in, get the aircraft fueled up with the retardant, and get some help. And I think major fire break in that area with dozers cleaning out in several areas is our best defense. And that's my comment.
Thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate that. Any other public comments? Okay, let's move on to the agency reports. Who is here? I saw a deputy here for sure. Yeah.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert Picari with the Phelan Station, and due to the holidays, we do not have an agency report this evening. We do not have an agency report this evening due to the holidays. The people that run the reports are off the weekend and the first and the second, so the reports won't be produced until tomorrow.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. But the only incident that we did have that was notable up here in the community of Brightwood, so for those of you who have neighbors that are out of the area or have vacation homes up here, we did have someone who was squatting in one of the residences, and they found this out by the water bill. So when they saw unusual activity, they normally know that there's no water being used, and then even very minimal water started being used. They weren't running the electricity, they didn't run the gas, but they did notice water usage. And they noticed it on their water bill, they asked for a check to residence, and somebody had been inside. So if you do know anybody who's out of the area, tell them that if they do notice something unusual with a utility, to call us and have us at least go check.
And there's been, there was somebody had their car stolen right out of the grocery out of Jensen's, right? Did you know about that?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, somebody had their Mercedes stolen and found it at Victor Valley Mall. And they left it running to go inside to get something.
I think I do remember that. That's somebody that's known to the person also. Because there was suspect information on that one.
Yeah.
We did. I don't know if you saw, if you follow the Phelan Facebook, there was a chop shop that was located down off of Phelan Road. It was a pretty substantial chop shop. Lots of ATVs that were there. We do have, if you look at Facebook, we do have a big concern with people driving around on ATVs in the middle of the night. It's not as big a problem as you see on Facebook. You get a lot more calls for service on Facebook than we do at the Sheriff's Department. Like I said earlier, a lot of people are willing to put anything they want on Facebook, but they are not willing to talk to the police or go testify in court. So you can't believe everything they put on Facebook. But there were a lot of ATVs. There have been a couple people arrested here in the last week or two that have a lot of history for stealing everything that isn't bolted down. And their primary mode of transportation is quads.
Are these people on parole? I just went through an incident where I had a generator stolen and both guys were caught, but they were both out on parole.
These two are not on parole. But that doesn't mean that they won't be in the future. But their primary mode of transportation are quads. So I'm hoping some of this calms down, at least the postings on Facebook. It's just with the way California is going. You see people that are going into custody and they're right back out the next day.
Right.
The new legislative bills that they're passing, it's very clear that California does not want people in jail.
Right.
It's very clear.
And how does that, that's got to have a chilling effect, right, on law enforcement. You have to work really hard to get these guys in the first place. And then it's got to be really hard on morale.
Yes, we do. I mean, when they made vehicle theft a misdemeanor, it used to be a felony. And now, if your value of your vehicle is $950 or less, then it is now a misdemeanor. Never used to be that way.
Right.
So everybody who buys that ATV, and you know, you bought it from your brother, and you only wrote the registration, you paid $100 for it, even though it was a $5,000 quad, because you don't want to pay tax. You want to be taxed on it again.
Oh. Okay.
Then, as a defense attorney, they're going to subpoena your records, and they're going to ask to see what you declared that vehicle value at, and when it says $100, and that's a $100 vehicle.
Wow. Interesting.
Good
to know. So.
Pay your tax.
You know, there was just with we just got an update just over the weekend. Senate Bill, I think it's 325, where if you are a minor and you're arrested and you're under the age of 16, you cannot be interviewed under Miranda unless you've spoken to your attorney first. Period. If you're going to have a custodial interrogation with a minor, you cannot interview them until they've spoken with an attorney first. They can't waive their own Miranda rights.
Is that a new law?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it's Senate Bill 325.
It's passed, or is it?
Oh, it's passed January 1st.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, that's all I have.
Officer?
Yes.
Could you comment on the new regulations that allows pot, recreational use of pot? Is going to be something about inside the vehicles? You're not allowed to smoke in the vehicles. You're not allowed
to. You're not allowed to smoke in the vehicle. Your passengers aren't allowed to smoke in the vehicle. You can't have it. They're all infractions. They're all infractions.
Thank you, Mr. Newsman.
You can have, if you're over 21 years of age, you can have 6 marijuana plants at your house for personal use. And they can't be in public view.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, item 6, consent calendar. We have the December minutes. Is everybody good with that, or do they want to make any changes?
No, they look good.
They look good? All right, and then we have the December disbursements. That is disbursements. And 6B. So we collected quite a bit of revenue. As you can see from this, page 8, we collected quite a bit of revenue. Some of it is the regular 1% property tax, and some of it is the solid waste.
That's great.
Is the special district employee, is that Shannon?
Yeah.
On here?
Yeah, exactly. So It looks like we have a lot of money in there, but that's going to go fast. We're still sticking to our budget.
Too late.
Major outstanding. So we've got CRNR, 11,000. Do we owe 11,000 still, or have we paid some of that, I thought?
We're actually paying up with CRNR.
Right, so don't get too excited, Brent. And we got the we owe the county. That's a little bit off, just the timing. It's probably about 20, not 17. But we're waiting on them. We should contact them tomorrow and or really soon here and ask for that final bill, which they promised us in early January. And Kennedy, we knocked his bill way down. General manager, we're good on that. Did we get a bill from the county?
No, that's an estimate.
That's an estimate. Okay.
Maybe we won't.
I wouldn't count on it.
Why'd they give him the wrong PO box?
Bless you. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we're happy right now, but we gotta stick to our plan. We gotta stick to the budget.
Absolutely.
I'm glad they're paying us. So it's really exciting. So do we have to vote? All those in favor of accepting the
motion?
Okay. I'm sorry. Somebody make a motion to accept the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent calendar for the December minutes and the December disbursements.
I'll second that.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Consent calendar motion carries. Item 7, General Manager Report.
Good evening. First of all, I want to introduce Michelle Mitchell. And she's basically our district level 1 employee.
Right.
And she's really done an excellent job in learning things from Shannon. Shannon's a very good...
Sorry, I'm a little louder.
How close can I get?
There we go.
No.
Anyway, Shannon has done a good job in training. Michelle has done an excellent job in learning. She has skills in Word, Excel, and QuickBooks. And she's just doing it. She's making it work.
Okay.
Yeah,
Michelle, you worked next to Shannon for a week
five
or so,
days,
or
yeah.
5 days. Okay. That's good. That's good. There's a lot of hidden tricks in this building and everything, so.
And Shannon made a point. We made a point of having Shannon explain all that. So,
yeah.
And show it to both
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, my report's rather extensive tonight. So I don't necessarily want to go through everything verbatim, but I did look the buildings over, made notations here. There are, overall, we're in good shape. There are some small items I would call small that need to still be repaired and replaced, and we'll be going on that through a maintenance type schedule to keep up on most of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This includes the park restrooms in our report, and also I just wanted to make a notation that Kathy Smith from Wrightwood and Wendy Walker from Phelan, or actually from Pinyon Hills, are both very good at natural landscape, and they both volunteered to work with me in developing the visiting old park area into a natural landscape area. Obviously, we won't be doing that changeover until springtime, but we're in the process now of at least looking at plants and that type of thing.
Okay.
Also, I do want to make a notation, but I did put it in here. Midday, December 23rd, we had a water leak on the women's side of the outside park restroom. And Michelle actually was notified of it first, and she tried to find a shutoff for the individual. It was actually one of the toilets. And she tried to find a shutoff for the toilet, and she couldn't find it. I came up here because I had taken off. I worked with her part of that morning. That's where we worked on these tables and stuff. But I had taken off, and I came back, and I looked and we couldn't find them. So I took the main off for the restroom. And it wasn't until the 26th when we could get somebody out here to fix them. It happened to be a Seaboard, and they're very familiar with our units. And they actually showed us where the shutoffs are.
Yes.
And there's a handle on the shutoffs that's missing on nearly every one of them.
Beautiful.
And so that's why we couldn't determine which one they were, but we found the handles. And so both Michelle and I are now experts on how to shut those toilets off.
Yeah, good.
And
says here you need a new computer, and that computer's 8 years old, and I think you and I talked about that. Is that something we're going to try to fix that one up still, or what do you want to do?
No. Well, I think that...
Oh, we can.
I think we can try to upgrade it.
Okay.
And see if we can, you know, save money that way. The printer, it's kind of beyond being upgraded, but the computer, I think we can upgrade.
Yeah, I'll donate a couple of parts for it. Just
and see if we can
yeah.
do you know,
okay.
on that. Obviously, I'll try to have that done on a day that Michelle's not working. Because when I'm in here, most of the time I work off of my own laptop and not the district's computer.
Right.
And so I can...
Is an 8-year-old computer really feasible on this?
Yeah, I think so, because it's got a decent enough processor. I looked at the specs and stuff on it. We'll put an SSD drive in it, which will give it new life, you know. It won't cost the district anything. We'll see if we can make the thing go. I think so.
Yeah, for another year or two.
Right.
And the printer is definitely...
Printer's needed. Done. Yeah.
So,
need to buy a printer.
Those are basically everything that we have in the report. I did miss one thing. Between the daycare center next to the Vivian Hall Park, Ladybug, I think it is. I think the name
Lilybug.
Is Lilybug. Okay. There's a chain link fence there. That part of that fence is pretty low, and it's been trampled over and repaired, and I think there's about a 50-foot section of that fence that just needs to be replaced. And so that'd be something that I'll actually be looking at doing relatively soon. It shouldn't be a major expense, but it's about a 50-foot section.
So is it just a chain link that needs to be replaced, or do you need to replace all of
it? The chain link...
That can be expensive. Those kids spend a lot more expensive than you think.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to get prices and bring them to the board.
Yeah.
But that's a 100-foot section, but 50 of it is solid, and the other part is this kind of
okay.
And I think we can just do the weak side and leave the other side alone, and the top bar and the fencing itself.
Okay. So, but you'll bring us some quotes in.
Yeah,
okay.
I do have, I found some fencing in that shed to see if that will work.
Okay.
Because there was some chain link in the shed. But anyway, that will be something to add to the to-do list. And that's pretty much my report. If there's any other questions.
Just one, Alan. We hired Cummings as CPA
yes.
to do the reports and that type of thing. And
yes.
Will she be, do you think, up to speed so that we can get the reports published? By February meeting or
absolutely.
For the community and everybody else, just general ledger and those type of things?
Yes.
Okay,
great. We had three that we interviewed. I believe that she's the best qualified.
I agree.
The price is very reasonable, like $150 a month. You know, which is far less than what we were anticipating.
Right.
And she's worked with government agencies. Remember, she has some school districts that she works with. She's the only one that has government experience. We got QuickBooks online, and she is taking that QuickBooks online and developing it as we speak.
So isn't that let's talk about, I mean, when you and I interviewed her, she was, she'll set up the books for $750 and then it's
mm-hmm.
$150 a month. I think it's really reasonable for a CPA. That's really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like you said, she knows government mm-hmm. stuff, so she can set up a chart of accounts properly from the beginning. I think that's important. We don't have that many transactions to roll through there. She said she would put all those in and everything. So I think it's a really good deal. And what's the next step on that? We just have to sign the agreement with her?
She sent me over an agreement. We didn't need to sign.
Okay. All right.
Will she do also the payroll taxes, the filings
yeah,
of those?
Okay. Yeah, that's included.
Okay.
That's $30 a month.
Right. And then the other question I had, which I talked to you earlier about, is if we can get copies of the agreement for septic control, the landscaper, and when we sign the agreement for the CPA.
Yes, we'll get all that to you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Al.
Hello.
Item 8, certificates of appreciation. We're going to hold off on this until the people that we're appreciating can actually be here. Alex is out sick today, and Shannon's not here. It would be great if you could get Shannon at the next meeting. Make sure Alex is there.
I'll do my best to get him.
I'd like to do that. Yeah. Okay. Item 9, Wrightwood Village Trail, discussion of possible action. This is the John Lanoue Trail item.
If I could, just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
John Lanoue came to the district to look at the possibilities of taking over the maintenance of the trail. That's not land, because the land actually still belongs to Caltrans, but there is an agreement to do the maintenance on the trail. And I would like to turn some time over to John, if you guys have any questions, direct them to John, because he's definitely much more confused with what's going on, but obviously he needs to have your discussion. All the information in the packet was provided by John, and that's all I'm doing to say at this particular time.
Okay, John.
Well, maybe I'll hold my comments, Wes, if I may, until after you board discuss it just a little bit. I just want to maybe just reiterate a little bit there what Al was just saying. Yes, it is Caltrans property, but the board last year, I don't know whether it was finalized or not, I don't remember, about the community gardens. You know, now you're not, the board isn't going to be the owner of the community gardens, is that correct? If you take over the maintenance jurisdiction of that?
Yeah, this isn't anything to do with the community gardens, though.
No, not exactly, no. But what I'm saying is about property. You know, if there was some confusion about, Caltrans, versus, on the same line, would be like private property, or the walking school bus, if the board was taking over for that, you're not really involving yourself in property, just, maintenance and upkeep of this program.
I see your point, yeah.
So I'll hold off on my comments, or if I have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Ron Parody from our committee is also here this evening, so we'll be able to answer most of your questions, hopefully.
One of the things I noticed when I went through this, you reference different items, A through E, and in the packet that I got, I haven't been able to find what A through E is.
I thought that Al might have sent those along. They were invoices describing those items. So if they're not in there, I'll be. Al, I thought you said you have them. Okay, I sent them to you a month or so ago, and I asked if you have them, and I thought you said you did. So I can resend them. If you have any questions.
Okay. The other question I had, John, was you have contractor Herb Anderson to install asphalt swales in three different locations.
Yes, that's something. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And one town is paying for that at $2,350, but you also say three more swales will be needed next year. Is that $2,350 for an additional three, or $2,350 for each one of the three that's going to be needed every year?
The total, which would have been one of those invoices, was approximately $5,000. I think I even have that with me. But so one town said that they would go for $2,350 last year, which is a couple of days ago, and approximately that same amount this year to be able to do the entire swales for that amount.
Okay.
The other one is that I started with, the CSD may have to consider additional liability insurance for the trail, even though the trail is on Caltrans property. Do you have insurance right now on it or not?
No, it's Caltrans property.
It is Caltrans.
So, you know, if somebody got, of course, they can sue anybody, right?
Well, that's true.
So
that's true.
So, no. And, of course, the CSD has liability insurance, correct, for the business building and properties. So, you know, I don't know. Les seems to me, Les, at the last meeting or so, you were mentioning, you know, the additional, like for the community gardens and what have you, would just be minimal to include that in the insurance.
Yeah. I don't know on this. We'd have to check this. I mean, my concern with this is that we're still so new, and we don't even have a year under our belt yet, and I'm really wanting to just stick to our budget really hard, you know, and this is outside of that. That's, you know, it's a great project. It's a great thing. I don't think it's in the, if we do everything perfectly right, we'll have 16 grand at the end of the year. If everything goes smooth, which it won't. I mean, there'll be hiccups. There'll be just stuff. You know, we don't have it. You got to get a year or two under your belt to have a good flow. Well, we don't even know all the problems there might be with this building. You know, we got to buy a new printer. That's $500. I know it's not, you know, going to break the bank, but it just, when you're talking 16,000, you know, at the end, that those $500 things add up, and all of a sudden you're upside down.
My concern too, John, is simply that Al finally got paid after 5 months. Now, we haven't had 1 month of total expenses that we really know what we have. You know,
our budget to get the best guess.
Well, that's what it is, yeah. Is a guess though, and the
right.
Same thing with the revenue.
I would want income also.
Yes, too. We're
and
guessing.
Some
yeah.
Yeah, and you know, part of what we had talked about with the budget and going through is to at least get a year under our belt to know what the actual expenses and revenues tend to be, mainly because what we were expecting wasn't really there to the point that I was expecting, you know, the amount of money or the amount of expenses that are propping up the maintenance of this building itself. Was the county, I don't know if they did anything for however many years, but there's a lot of stuff out there that needs to be addressed. And that was my concern. Last meeting, I was one that asked to be put on the agenda, mainly because I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about it, because you have done a tremendous job with this. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you.
And, you know, if there's something, I know I've got my T-shirt, my hat, you know, supported you guys, that type of thing. But I think right now for this CSD to jump into something like this, with the amount of unknowns that we have, I would have a tough time with that.
So your only argument at this time would be finances.
Well, I have a little bit of concern, and I guess I would have to ask Al to comment on this in terms of the work to maintain it, and is that going to be absorbed by Al and Michelle? If so, is there enough time to do that with the contract that you have and the hours that have been approved for Michelle, or are we going to need to hire that third worker to incorporate this? So I have some concerns about budget for the same reason that when the proposals have come through so far about us taking things over, both
right.
of what you said. But another concern is and I also love the trail. Mm-hmm. It is the first thing you see. It is beautiful. You have done such a fantastic job,
thank
all
you.
Of you.
And our committee.
The committee. It is absolutely wonderful. And I could see this in the future. It's hard to wrap my head around the labor. Al, do you have any?
Can I ask, John, can you describe where you reference item C, like the volunteer process that goes with caring for the trail?
Well, constantly she would, the trail, why the plants that are adjoining the trail need to be cut back, and periodically why, of course we see now, and all of you I'm sure have walked it that live here, why there's erosion on the trail, so, you know, periodically why we need to refill the decomposed granite that's along the trail. And the doggy bags that I made mention of, which we have some of still in stock, but you know, those need to be replaced every couple of months.
How do you organize the volunteers? Like, do you have them come once a month, or?
There are none.
Oh, okay.
Ron and I do 99% of the work.
And then for the committee's doing this. You guys are the volunteers.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
and have you had the Boy Scouts come and arrange the rocks for you? I think I might have remembered that happening.
Yeah, many organizations in town have done all of that.
Okay.
And we haven't had any maintenance with that since they put it in.
Okay.
So, really, so in other words, the bottom line is that most all of you agree that somewhere down the line that the CSD might take this over, and it's just a financial thing that would hold you back a little bit at this point.
I think, if I could speak real quick, I think there's a couple things.
Can you get on the mic? I'm sorry.
You and my neighbor here, that you guys did a wonderful job over the last,
11 years.
11 years. And thank you guys, both you guys, and the committee. But there's a couple things. One is we need to get our, like Chuck and the rest of the board, we need to get our feet going first. The second thing is we got to look at how much labor is going to cost us, because we'll have to either add on help or extend.
Hire a contractor.
So we just need to, we've got 6 months under our belt. This is January. And I think it's going to take, like Wes was saying, probably another 6 months or a year or 18 more months to find out what we're going to do and repair anything that we need to. All these gotchas that Al pointed out, it was just, there's a lot of things there that we need to address pretty quickly. And if this trail and any other organizations that want to bring things to the plate, we just gotta say no right now and be extra conservative as we see our budgets of $16,000 at the end of this year.
What would happen if the CSD did not accept this? What would happen to the trail?
Well, the way it sits now, it would continue to deteriorate.
Yeah.
You know, the erosion would continue.
So
not the entire trail, of course, a mile and a quarter long, but there is quite a bit of deterioration.
So you've done this for 11 years. Is there, there's no backup? We're it.
Yes.
There's no backup plan. No plan B after us.
And I don't know how many of you realize, but personally, myself, my wife and I are selling our house, and we're leaving town, going to San Diego this year, so
right.
That part of it will be gone. Not that I do it all, but
you do a lot. But,
wow.
Yeah. You do a lot.
But I really enjoy it, and so we really, really need to have something like the CSD, and I can't think of anything else that would be able to take it over. Is there any way you could put on the agenda or in the minutes to take a look at this again in 3 months or 6 months, 9 months?
Yeah.
I have a question. The organization that collects trash on the highway has like a day.
Whitewood Property Owners?
Thank you, Randy. So you guys have a day a month?
Every two months
where people come in. Have you tried that approach with the Village Trail for bringing in our community members every so often for like a sign up or open to the...
I don't think it needed to. John's just doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Out of the original group that you had, the volunteers, there isn't anyone else that other than yourself that would be willing to take it over? I know that you are the
Well, I don't know. Maybe if Ron wants to get up here and speak on that, I'll let him chime in. But to my knowledge, you know, that one or two people just, you know, it's a great deal of work. I enjoy doing it, so I'm out there regularly doing it.
Right.
But it really needs to be overseen. The finances.
How many hours are you putting in on that trail a week?
Oh, I don't do it weekly, but
okay.
I would say a month, probably 10 hours a month or so, 10, 12 hours a month.
Okay.
But there again, you know, like with the erosion, why you need to have a contractor come in and dump the decomposed ground.
All of a sudden, you got a bunch of work
there,
right? Some storm or something comes in. Yeah.
And that's why we had Herb Anderson taking a look at it to see if we could put in some asphalt pieces here and there to kind of divert water off the trail.
Yeah.
Thank you. Rob, is there anything you wanted to add?
Only to the extent that there are several people...
I'm sorry, Ron, can you come to the mic? Because we got to get it on the recorder and everything. And state your name, please.
I'm Ron Parody. And I work very closely with John on a trail. And I just want to tell you people I can't thank John enough. If it wasn't for John being so adamant about this, we would never have had a trail.
Right.
But be that as it may... we do have people coming up to us occasionally when we're working on a trail asking if they can help, and they'd be happy to donate. So I don't think we're going to have a problem as far as maintaining the trail from the maintenance standpoint. But the biggest problem, then, as John mentioned, are these erosion parts of the trail that need to be fixed so it just doesn't continue to erode and become bigger ditches than they already are. I think from the maintenance standpoint, we can handle that and continue to do that free with no labor cost. So the only thing that we were looking for is hopefully that we can fix those eroded areas.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Okay, well... I'm for, you know, looking at this again in 3 months. But if I was asked to vote right now, I would, you know, say no on this. Because I just the whole thing is driven by the budget for me.
Yeah. I'll get there.
Well, no problem.
I've had kind of a dream about the trail, and that's to put in a park course. Anybody familiar with the park course, P-A-R? The park course, you have about 8 or 10 stations along the way, and each station will give you specific aerobics to do, or gymnastic things to do. You go to one, you do some pull-ups according to age and all that. You do another one, you do sit-ups, and so on. You go through the complete thing. By the time that you're done, you have had a complete physical workout. And those things are available too. And I would like to, I've been talking to John about that for a long time. I would like to see something like that added to the trail. And I think more people would use it if we had it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. I'm with you, Wes. I think that it would be a good idea maybe if we visited this in 3 months and saw, I don't know, I see somehow like trying to organize volunteers to get behind this because there are so many people that already use this trail.
I see that too.
And I think, I mean, to me, I didn't know that John was moving, and I think that if people find out that, you know, there's not going to be as many volunteers behind it, that maybe we could rally people together, maybe form some type of committee that wants to continue this on and help.
I mean, it requires, you know what kind of work that requires. I mean, somebody's got to really kind of be in charge of that, get the volunteers, keep them interested.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you got to work it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem looking at it in 3 months, but I don't want to give out false hope either. I mean, the reality is we're 6 months to a year away from really knowing what we're doing. And I think it's, besides the financial aspect of it, what you had just said, is it needs somebody like John that can take it over. And with Al, is getting more and more stuff. And if you looked at the packet where we had goals and that type of thing, I think Parks and Rec are huge, but even those have to cover the expenses that are out there, at least from my point of view. So I'm fine on looking at it 3 months. I just don't want to, you know, have you guys thinking that something's going to change in the 3 months, at least from my point of view at this moment in time.
John, is there something you could put on Wrightwood Gallup or something and look for, you know, maybe we could put an ad or something on there that says looking for volunteers, maybe to somebody to take over that trail? And
absolutely, all I need is the word.
You know, God, I don't want that thing to die.
Yeah.
But you know, we need another John.
John, when are you moving?
Well, we're not sure, but before June.
Before June.
Okay.
I am felt similar to what Chuck said, and also agree completely with what Natalie said about helping finding a way to mobilize volunteers and coordinate that. I don't want to let this issue go. I mean, I feel like it's potentially a great fit, but I do believe that we have to stay focused on making sure that our base things are running before we add things. But I'm also concerned about what will have changed in 3 months, because what we're all saying is we need to get to the end of our fiscal year.
Right.
So to me, and it hurts to say this, but to me, the first time I think that we would really be able to look at it seriously is like September. We got to get through the fiscal year and have a month to get into the new one. And
yeah.
But man, I would like to find a way to ultimately make this work, because this is it's a piece of the heart of the town, in my opinion now. And
Is there some help we could offer with putting this up on Facebook and things like, you're not on Facebook or anything? Yeah, see, I mean, is there somebody that could, somebody from the board or something that maybe could volunteer to try to find some volunteers or find that other John Lanoue?
I could do that. Or we could work on it together, or
Facebook savvy. You're very safe, Facebook savvy. I'm
out there in the mud and the blood and the
blood.
We'll put you on Facebook.
You know, we need to bring John together with because that's how everybody, you know, there are, you know, Monica or somebody like that. I mean, she might really help.
About that.
Yeah.
I talked to Alex Peterson about it the other day, and she said she needs to get her husband involved and get him to take it over.
He's about ready to retire. Well,
he's got all the time now. So,
would the goal for rallying people on Facebook be to send them to John for to create some type of committee to come up with a plan?
I think so, because he knows all the ins and outs and what the expectations would be, and then he could sort of interview them and make sure that they're committed to it.
Okay. Letting them know that they'd be volunteering.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd be happy to do that.
Schedule a Saturday once a month or something.
That'd be great.
They'll walk through.
Yeah, we can't let that go. We don't have it in our budget, but that doesn't mean it can't be accomplished. Okay. All right. There's no action on this right now. Item 10. This is a ordinance that has to do with illegal dumping. And what prompted this was there was a somebody dumped a whole bunch of furniture and a bunch of stuff there at the end of Locarno, and Brent came in my office all revved up. And, you know, and it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. They just took basically all their furniture and put it at the end of Locarno. And they left all their paperwork. I know exactly who it is. I have her phone number, the whole thing. But we don't have an ordinance. We need some kind of an ordinance that says, hey, there's a fine attached to this. If you do this illegal dumping, we can fine you. So ask Steve to come up with a or Al asked Steve to come up with an ordinance, and that's what that is. And Steve, you had made this $1,000 fine, right? $1,000 fine.
Your general manager requested that. Your general manager had requested that prepare a draft ordinance for the board to consider.
Yeah.
It is timely given that you have an exclusive franchise agreement with CR&R. That lends itself to the question, how do you enforce that agreement? That franchise agreement gives CR&R exclusive rights to do all of the hauling and dumping within the the commercial dumping within the CSD. And so how do you prevent other entities from engaging in that type of business in violation of your franchise rights and CR&R's franchise rights? And so that's what this ordinance attempts to do while also addressing the concern that the board president made. Of course, there's a process in adopting an ordinance, and that process is that there has to be a first reading. First of all, you notice it up in the newspapers, public hearing, so there will be a first reading and then a second reading. So probably the earliest you would be able to adopt it would be in March. So I put together this draft, and I had no input from any board members, so this is really an opportunity for the board to weigh in on some of these provisions from a policy standpoint and provide input and direction as to what you want this ordinance to look like when you submit it for public review. There's no pride of authorship in the document, so if there are any changes that the board would like to see, please feel free to discuss that and let myself and staff know what you would like.
I mean, the goal I had was just, we want to be able to find somebody and maybe take them to small claims court and say, you owe us this money for dumping your trash in the middle of the street.
Okay, so we could go to the liability and penalty portion of the ordinance. So Section 4 would make your general manager the authorized individual that the board would look to enforce this ordinance.
Okay.
Section 5 talks about the liability. Section 5 would say, it says that to the extent that there are any damages associated with any activity inconsistent with the ordinance, then that individual would be responsible for those damages. So this clause would allow the district to collect its direct damages. Section 6 talks about fines and penalties that would be in addition to any actual out-of-pocket expenses. And
so it would be beyond the fine?
No. Well, 6 is the fine.
Okay.
5 is if the district suffers any monetary losses.
Oh, I see.
Then you would be able under Section 5 to recover your actual damage.
Okay.
So then the person who left all the stuff at the end of Locarno would have to pay to have that removed?
Well, if the district paid to have it removed,
then you would go after them. Got it. Yeah. Thank you.
Plus
$1,000
fine.
Plus the
$100. Section 6 fine. And 6.2. 6.3 says the first, I may be cutting Steve up here, but 6.3, am I misreading this?
Well, it says 6.2 is where it starts, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, right, but so then there's different amounts.
6.1 talks about more or less criminal enforcement as a misdemeanor. And I have enforcement of these types of ordinances are similar to code enforcement activities. And early in my career, I did some code enforcement work on behalf of various cities. And it is a tricky process. I don't want to lead anyone on this board down the garden path on that. It is a very tricky process to try and enforce this criminally. Typically, it involves, as you know, district attorney's office is involved in criminal enforcement. So you have to get permission from the DA's office in order to...
But we don't have to use that part.
Do
right?
not. And that's...
We
and
just take them to a small claims court and say, hey, you owe us $1,000. And that's going to discourage them.
Yeah. And so that's... So section six, what section six tries to do is provide as many, I'm gonna mess up this metaphor, arrows in the quiver. Is that right?
Yeah.
As many arrows in the quiver as possible, so that the district can choose which type of enforcement mechanism you want to use. So 6.1 talks about criminal enforcement. 6.2 also mentions criminal enforcement in the way of a misdemeanor. But if there is a prosecution in that way, then there could also be, in addition to potential imprisonment, then the $1,000 fine would be attached to that criminal proceeding.
I mean, that'd be for something, you know, the guy's done, you know, somebody's dumping chemicals or something in the wash or something really bad.
Okay, so that's 6.2. 6.3 is more or less strictly the fine portion. And so you'll see that for a first violation, it's $100 fine. For a second violation, it's $500. And for a third violation, within a year, it would be $1,000.
Okay.
And typically, this would be collected through the small claims court process.
Mm-hmm.
My very first trial was someone that... back in 1989, I was a 26-year-old attorney, straight out of law school. My very first trial was a contractor who had hooked up to a fire hydrant for compaction purposes on a development project. And so the district fined him $500, and he challenged it and took him to small claims court, and then he appealed it. And in an appeal, then the attorney can get involved in a small claims appeal. And so that was my very first trial. So this process, I've seen this process work through small claims court.
Okay.
Did you win?
Pardon me?
Did you win?
Yes. Okay. We were able to prevail. But the interesting thing is, you know, typically with water districts, you're able to put it on the bill and collect it that way as part of the already a collection process in place.
Oh, I see.
Something like this would be independent of a built-in collection process. And so, obviously, collecting is a little bit different.
Okay.
Section 7 also talks about other remedy, another remedy. So we talked about damages, we talked about fines, penalties, and possible imprisonment. Another one is equitable relief, and that would be an injunction, obtaining a temporary restraining order, and then maybe a permanent injunction against that type of activity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, in a nutshell, the kind of remedies that are built into this document.
It's pretty thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well.
Where do we go from here?
Well, I think I'd like to pursue it. I don't know what the next step is, but I mean, I like it just fine.
The next step would be to advertise it as a public hearing.
Okay.
And then we would have it on the agenda for first reading in February, and then possible adoption in March.
Okay.
Is there anywhere in here that we could recoup attorney fees if we needed an attorney? As far as small claims or something along those lines, that would be part of it.
I guess it could be construed in whatever our costs are. But
yeah, it could be construed as a Section 5
it's
cost.
It's not explicit,
but
though.
It's not explicit.
We can make it explicit.
We can make it explicit.
Yeah.
That would be good.
That's a good point. Yeah, John?
Of course, around town, Lone Pine Canyon and Wright Mountain Road, we see signage that says $500, $1,000 fine for dumping animals. So this can go right along with that. And we need some signage, you know, people to know that was CSD, you know, no dumping, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we've got a little bit of the cart before the horse here with the arrows and the quiver thing. But I've been here for 31 years, and I don't know how many times I've always had a pickup truck that I've gone up and down Lone Pine Canyon or Highway 2, picking up couches and washing machines. So all this time I've never had the opportunity to see somebody dumping. So
I have all the info on it.
Okay, so
I called her twice, three times.
I think the bottom line is what I'm trying to get to is that if the CFD accepts this, does that mean that we as residents of Wrightwood, can we call Al and say, Al, on the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, we've got a pile of furniture, and the CFD will send CR&R to pick it up?
CR&R is all over this way before anyone else.
Yes.
I mean, they,
so
they
do we call CR&R?
Brent,
or?
Yes. Brent will... I mean, the CSD pays for the pays for it. We have a deal with Brent.
Okay. I know he's always been good about donating and so forth, but I've never had the
opportunity. Well, he volunteers his guys, which is just amazing, which is great, and we understand, and Brent understands, and we all understand that we have to attack it. We
right.
cannot
yeah.
leave it there
yeah.
because it anything at all. Just breeds more.
That's right. That's right.
It's just like graffiti.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to attack it.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's a really good point. Perhaps when this matter is brought back to the board in February, perhaps by then Mr. Spears would have had opportunity to look at this, maybe provide input on the type of language that maybe close some of the loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that we can attack the issues that Mr. Spears has identified and your general manager has identified as
okay.
illegal dumping to make that maybe a Section 3.3
okay.
provision.
Okay.
Because most of this talks about activities inconsistent with the CR&R franchise, but we want to also make sure that we wrap our arms around issues like dumping it illegally, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that I've got all that captured by this document.
Okay. Okay, we'll get you a copy of this thing, okay, Brent? Then we can go over that. And then what, we can just, we can
we'll
notice up a hearing for next month? And
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Al, can you make sure we stick to our plan on that? Because I'll lose track of time on this thing. You know, in 2 weeks, we need to...
It'll go bad.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike Trover. I have a question on this. I'm not sure. County have a no-dumping order or a no-dumping regulation. Does it tie in with the county's order? How does this work?
No, because, I mean, it's we took over all the county ordinances, I guess, but it's... We're in charge of the solid waste stuff and all that, so it's the county doesn't really apply.
So the sheriff doesn't have anything to do with the area that's jurisdictional? I'm confused.
Yeah, they do. For these powers, we're just talking about the solid waste powers here that we have, not talking about other things.
Of Brent being able to pick it up, right?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we don't get into a mess with the county where... All of a sudden, the county says, "Well, we don't take care of Wrightwood anymore because they take care of their illegal dumping." I mean, illegal.
Well, but they don't do it anyways. They don't do it anyways.
The county doesn't enforce illegal dumping?
No.
Well, that is a very fair question, and trying to make sure that they're when we talk about illegal dumping, defining what is the type of dumping that crosses over into criminal conduct for which there is already some sort of
county provision for
county
that.
Provisions that the sheriff's department can enforce,
hmm.
That certainly would allow for that type of enforcement that's already in place.
Except for in practical terms, all you got to do is drive down the Phelan and realize there's nobody at home on that.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not doing a thing.
That's a good point. So this is an opportunity for this board to try and be proactive on that issue.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it's just
superseding what the county authority would be in enforcing
right.
its ordinances in county areas.
The civil part is all we need, really.
We could do it that way.
But that's really all we need because that is discouragement. You know, if people find out, hey, there's a fine, and the CSD is aggressive about it, and they'll find out, and, you know, people will talk on Facebook, we'll take you to court. And
we could scale that back. That's the will of the board. We could scale back the remedies so that...
That's what I would vote for, yeah. I only care, because I know that's what will work. You know, the criminal part, like you said, is messy, and, you know, why we don't need it.
But going to small claims court,
it has an effect.
Of course, you know, with the $100, with the first offense being $100, your general manager would be appearing in court on that. The filing fee.
I think it should be. Just at least $1,000. It's got to be.
I think so.
You know, I mean, the limit in small claims court is $5,000.
I think it's actually more now. It was $5,000 back in the day, but I think it's 75 or 10.
Is that what it, I don't know what it is for a corporation. The limit's $5,000.
I mean, littering on the highways is $1,000, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Should be $1,000 and just civil. Are you guys okay with just going for the civil part of that, Natalie?
Sounds okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay.
I do think that initial infraction should be raised. I don't think $100 does much, especially if they're dumping big stuff.
No, that sounds like it. I might do it. $100 might be cheaper.
Don't trash our town.
Yeah.
Well, if there's a different scale, now would be the time to kind of hammer that out.
$1,000 for the first. It's got to be $1,000 for the initial.
Plus attorney fees.
Yeah.
If needed.
Absolutely. Take your trash to the dump.
Yeah.
Yeah, John?
Do need to make sure to keep in mind that a majority of this is probably on Forest Service property. And I'm not sure. Okay, you're going to have either county roads, private property, Caltrans.
As long as it's within the CST. A small claims judge will figure it out. No problem.
On federal property, it may create other issues.
If they argue that.
I just want to make sure. So, was this actually on the county road on Locarno, or was it on private property?
No, it was. Well, it was at the end of that cul-de-sac, you know, where it ends over there on Wright Mountain Road.
And it's in the dark back there.
Yeah,
I would think that that's probably county roads at that point.
Yeah, it's all paved.
Just keep
it's within the CSD, though. I mean,
Steve, do you know anything about the distinction of federal property versus the county roads and such?
Yeah, the ability for the district to regulate that is applies district-wide. And so it's not necessarily tied to property ownership. It's whether or not the activity is within the scope of the district's authority that you have under LAFCO and under the CSD Act.
Yeah.
So the issue of what type of property is doesn't affect your underlying predicate issue of your ability to enforce it. Now, on a case-by-case basis, whether that enforcement would impair someone's property rights would be an issue that the board would have to tackle before deciding whether or not to try to enforce the ordinance. And that's something that, with all code enforcement issues, is one that raises its head between the tension between collective governance versus private property rights.
Yeah.
And so that's something that the board will have to address from a policy standpoint on a case-by-case basis, perhaps.
Yeah. I think in this instance that Brent brought out, I mean, it'd be a slam dunk. I mean, they just left all their trash there at the end of the road. And
well, there's, you know, in the legal world, there's no such thing as a slam dunk. There's causation. There's always, as I see it, just sitting here, there's a causation issue. Who did anyone see who did the dumping? And how do we prove up whether that was the property owner or someone else?
I could win.
All right.
All right, so we just want to make it a civil.
And what, the scale on 6.3, perhaps 1,000, 2,500, 5,000?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Get their attention.
Put some teeth in there.
Good point, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get you a revised draft for first reading next month.
Okay. Okay. Item 11, resolution 2018-1, conflict of interest code.
As the board will recall, your very first meeting, I think it was mentioned earlier that the board adopted sort of en masse the entirety of the applicable ordinances and resolutions of the county. One of those was the Conflict of Interest Code. As a government agency, you're all required, all government local agencies are required to have a Conflict of Interest Code under the Fair Political Practices Act and under the regulations by the FPPC. And so, so you incorporated that into your activities. All of you have complied with the requirement to file a Form 700. So it's already, you're already in compliance. You have the Conflict of Interest Code that you, that's in place currently. What this does is one that would apply specifically to you. You would now, this would replace that where you would have your own Conflict of Interest Code. So what I tried to do here is with the resolution, there is a provision in the FPPC regulations that allows for public agencies to incorporate by reference any regulation that is adopted by the FPPC, knowing that the FPPC is constantly amending its regulations. And every time they do it, if we had to bring back a new conflict of interest code for you, it would be a cumbersome process. So just the resolution just says all regulations of the FPPC are hereby incorporated into your individual conflict of interest code.
So this just points to that. So whatever they choose to do, it's automatically part of it.
Yes, that's what the resolution does. Now, of course, I went a little bit further, if it's too far, then that's fine. Knowing that this is, sometimes it's a cumbersome process to, if you just have that, it's a cumbersome process for you and for your general manager and me. I have to file a Form 700 as well, to go through each of the FPPC regulations and see
what's changed.
So I tried to boil it all down into the language that you see in your appendix.
Okay.
And that's essentially what I've done in the appendix, which is Exhibit A to the resolution. And it's a lot of verbiage, which basically is trying to boil down the current FPPC regulation.
Is Section 500 B, is that the 700 form that they're talking about?
Okay, so yes, all of Section 500 is the 700 form.
Okay.
When the ABCD talks about when those forms are due, and you will be required to file a new Form 700
this year
before April 1st.
Okay.
And you will be required to do that every year while you're on the board.
Okay.
And then once you are off the board, then you will have to file a final Form 700 30 days after leaving office.
Do we file those with the general manager?
Typically, that is the case. You file with the general manager so that the documents are on file here with the district, and if an individual, there are public records, and if an individual wants to make a Public Records Act request, then they can do it directly with the district. Now, I believe that, if I recall, Director Schneider talked to the FPPC directly, I believe, or was it the county clerk?
I think I talked to all of them.
Okay, and they accepted them. So I do not believe that your Form 700s are currently on file here.
No, we all filed with the county.
I called them too and went through it. Yeah. Had them walk me through it. Yeah.
So they accepted it that way, but typically you would file them with your general manager, and then the general manager would.
Do they get forwarded on to them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it gets forwarded on to them.
Okay.
So that would be the
process. That's a voter registrar's office?
I think the registrar took it, but it could go to the county clerk. You could go to the county clerk's office.
I was told by the registrar that if you were elected, they had to go to the registrar, but if you were appointed, then I could give it to Al as the general manager. It didn't have to go to the register.
Well, there you go.
Don't know.
If that's how it's been implemented, then so be it, I guess. But typically, it would go directly to your general manager, and then that person would handle the transmission to the county.
Okay.
The main part of this document that is for the board to consider from an administrative standpoint is Exhibit B, which is the disclosure category. You don't have a lot of staff, and as a small organization, this is not a voluminous list. But typically, directors are required to have the most transparency. And so you would be, because you're making policy decisions, so the disclosure categories would apply, all disclosure categories would apply to you. The general manager would also be required to do that. And then the two consultants that I've listed are myself and your auditor. If the board has any other positions, I know you have another position that was recently created.
Right.
I don't know that individual has any authority to make decisions. I think the general manager has the authority to make all of those decisions. So I'm not sure that person would need to file a Form 700. But I went on a limb and listed those. The board could certainly modify that if you wish.
Might as well. Are we behind in this resolution? Is it one of those things that we should have done 4 months ago, or no?
If you recall, it was one of the things actually that Kathleen Rawlings McDonald had mentioned early on, I think at your very first meeting, was getting your conflict of interest code in place. But I don't know that it was necessarily critical given all of the other issues that you were dealing with.
My question, do I have time to read this and then?
Absolutely.
Put it on the agenda for the next
month. Put it on the next month.
I mean, you've already got a conflict of interest code in place through your incorporation of the county. It's not like you don't have one. It's not like you are already in compliance.
Yeah, I'd like to read through it. Okay, given that, I think we'll no action on this, and this will come up in next meeting, okay?
Okay.
You guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, item 12, annual rental fee review.
Wes?
Yes?
Using an abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself from this conversation. I am the director of the Tri-Community Co-op. We rent this building every 2 weeks, we have for several years. After a brief discussion with Steve, I think this is what I should do to just play it safe.
Okay.
So
okay, you don't
I'm
have to.
Give my phone number to Natalie. Will you text me when you guys are done?
Yeah.
I'll just be outside somewhere.
All right. Now, this is a here, let me go to that. So right now, the people that rent the community building, they all have different fees. And so we're looking to get some kind of a standard to apply to everybody. Is that right, Al?
Well,
that was the idea.
Most districts on an annual basis will review the fees that they charge and see if they need to make an adjustment. In trying to establish that annual timeline, the board had directed me to put together some information and bring it to this particular meeting. What I've done, if you look at the first page, is the current structure that we adopted from CSA 56. And then on the second page...
Wait a minute. So you're saying on the first page, this page here, this is the current CSA 56?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
That's the one.
This is on the top.
This is what everybody's rate is based on now, but they all have different rates, right? I mean, they all kind of...
This is where I'm leading.
Okay.
So this fee structure that you see in front of you, Category 1, 2, and 3, is what we currently adopted from the county.
This is CSA 56. It's when we came in, this is what they were going by.
This is what they were going by, and this is what we adopted.
Okay.
Okay, and that also includes a number of the other items, including the swimming lessons, which we don't do. Okay, on some of these pages have numbers, some don't, unfortunately. But on page number 21,
yeah,
staff made a suggestion of some rate changes.
But isn't the point though that none of these rates are being followed, right? I mean, the snowline players has one rate, you know, the other guy, you know, the guys that do the okay, all right.
But you're making a very good point. Okay. Also, with evaluating these rate structures, I looked at several other districts. And I included the view of being a health district because it's very similar to ours.
Yeah.
Structure. I also included Hesperia Park and Recreation, which is a separate district from their city, to see what their structure is. Their structure is a little higher than most. The view of being in hills is about average. And then, if you'll notice that our structure is rather much lower than that. Now, on the note that President Zuber was commenting on, we have quite a few rentals that are ongoing, monthly, annually. We have a number of individuals that basically rent our facilities for birthday parties or wedding receptions, etc. And organizations, not just individuals. Our current rate structure addresses all of that, all of the above. Something that the county was lenient on was on a number of things such as deposits. You know, in our current rate structure, you have security and cleaning deposits of $150 or $250, depending on what category you're in. And then a non-refundable portion of that. Well, what the county has been doing is just charging the non-refundable portion of $35 no matter what. Okay, not taking on $150 category security deposit and then refunding the difference, keeping the paperwork easy, I guess would be the way to put it. The kitchen rental, those fees seem to be working and seem to be applied. The public address system even though there's a fee on that. The few times that organizations abuse it, they haven't been charged that fee. Folding chairs at 75 cents per chair, nobody's doing that. And again, you know, we can forego the swim lesson. Storage facilities within, storage within our facilities. We have the closets back at the end of the hallway by the restroom. We have the closet next to the kitchen. We have the closet over here. And we have the closet next to our office. And they're all being rented out at this particular time, which is at this particular rate from what I can understand.
Well,
I can
understand. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a spreadsheet of the people that currently use this with the new rates applied to see what they would be and what they currently pay?
No, I don't have a spreadsheet with that.
Yeah, I would think that we would need to absolutely see a comparison to see how this comes out, because you can't just, you know, we can't just go to Snowline and go, hey, it's going to be, you know, three times as much. You know, we have to be reasonable here. So we need a comparison to see if these rates make sense. You know, so we got to get a spreadsheet that says, here's what they're paying right now, here's what they would pay if we had all these services in, and make sure it's reasonable.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's really hard. You know, they're just all these rates here. It's hard to look at it.
Now we do have a list. Put together a show just today that slightly addresses what you're commenting.
It wasn't in the packet. He had
it wasn't in the packet. It was addressed today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was put together today.
Let me share that. Okay.
And for facilities that for organizations that get free facility use and sponsorship through the CSD.
Well, these are not all the people that are renting the facility, right?
No, but these are the ones that are getting these free facilities for free.
I see. Okay.
And some of them get the insurance coverage through us, such as the senior line dancing. The communication group, which I think...
They don't provide any additional insurance?
The communication group does not. And I believe they only meet once a year or something of that sort. So it's not a huge issue. Neighborhood watch, they've been meeting once a month, but I believe that's expanded out more, perhaps quarterly. The Redwood property owners, from what I understand, they get the facilities for free and have not provided insurance coverage.
Okay.
Organizations that get the facilities for free but do have insurance, the Fire Safe Council, the Snowline Players, CERT, and the Wrightwood Historical Society.
Okay.
But if you want a spreadsheet that breaks down everything...
Yeah, we really need a spreadsheet for each person, what they pay now, and what they would pay for the services, the new proposed services.
Now, do you want this to pertain to the...
It shouldn't take long. It's not that many. You know, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Do you want this pertaining to just the monthly and the annual rent?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's the... Yeah, I'm thinking of the AC 100 guys, right? Those are the annual. Mm-hmm. That's an annual guy. And for some reason, you know, we charge them a lot. Mm-hmm. And then other people don't... You know, so I just like to see all that and see how it comes out.
Okay.
This communication group, is that communication for the community, or what is? Oh, John,
ham radio operators.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the whole picture.
Yeah, we need to see the whole picture.
If you've got
a
dozen or two dozen groups that come in here once a month or once a year, and you can see how much it is now and what's forecasting.
Yeah, because maybe we're way off or something, you know, but I'd like to see it.
But the pricing looks really in line with the other communities around here, though. just want to make sure.
Well, I mean, I know, but what if it's this big shock, right? What if it's, you know, we don't want to lose or...
I understand. Les, where does the farmer's market fall in that those categories?
I don't know. We'd have to, I got to get, I don't know what they pay right now and all that.
They do rent it weekly?
Yeah. They do.
They rent it weekly, they provide insurance.
Yeah,
and
they do.
I believe they are in category one, if I remember right.
A nonprofit?
Yeah, let's see if we can. I mean, it's not that many people. It should be no problem. We can just make that happen, see what it looks like.
Well, we can get to the spreadsheet.
Okay. Okay.
So do you want to table this until next month?
Yeah. I mean, we just keep it going the way, you know, whatever their current rate is, make sure we're getting that, and make sure we get the insurance.
Don't you think that the ones that it's going to be a shock to are ones that get it free now?
Well, that will
if
be
in
a
fact
shock.
They yeah. end up having to pay. That's going to be the biggest shock. Because it doesn't seem like it's a huge increase.
No, $3.
Existing people that are using it. It's the yeah. ones that have, the county has allowed to do it for free that
yeah.
all of a sudden get hit. That's yeah. the shock.
Well, yeah. it all comes back down to the expense of this place, the water, electricity, the insurance, all that stuff comes in.
Oh, I understand all that.
Fair. I mean, that's what we need to make sure they understand that as well.
Right.
But we cannot price it beyond what the community can support. You know, should we, for example, you know, it's hard to be, I mean, this stuff has evolved, right? It's evolved over years and years. Snow Line pays zero money, but has insurance. CERT doesn't pay anything. Well, should we?
No.
You know, CERT doesn't have any income.
It's a non-profit.
Yeah. So there's several things to consider, but I'd like to see what the revenue looks like now, what it would look like if we implement these changes on them.
If I'm a member of a couple of these organizations that are getting it free, would I end up having to recuse myself if we get to a vote on something like this?
Well, okay, so that gives an opportunity to apply to the Conflict of Interest Code. So the question is, do you receive any income from any of those?
No.
And that was perhaps the difference between Jeff's situation and Dr. Schneider's situation. So without any income, then there would be a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Now, if a conflict of interest exists, it's important to note that it needs to be handled the way Director Schneider did it, which is to announce it at the beginning, disqualify yourself from even any discussion of it, and then to leave the room. Being part of the discussion and then shaping and framing the nature of the discussion, and then at the end saying, well, I've got a conflict, so I'm going to not vote,
okay.
is not the way to handle
it. You've already done it.
Right.
Already.
So, the way you're
a little late, Chuck.
Well, that's why we tabled it, and I'll do it next month.
But it doesn't appear that there's a conflict.
There's no conflict in with you anyway.
Yeah, right. Because
there's no money.
There's no money.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So there's no action. I really like to see this because I think it's a sensitive issue. You know, we can't just.
I agree.
You know, we got to make sure we're doing this right.
Thank you, Brent.
just to ask another question. Okay. The suggested rate increase, you're going to want a comparison between the current and the suggested rate increase.
Right.
Right.
What they're paying now, what they're actually paying now. because that doesn't bear any resemblance to what the rate chart is originally.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it doesn't. So then, you know, what the new rate would be on those a la carte services and how it would work and what services they get and what would it be?
Okay. Keeping in mind that that the relevance of that is just to see what the impact would be.
That's right.
Not to create, you know, right now the rate structure is based upon objective factors, the Category 1, the Category 2, Category 3, objective factors that are in place.
Yeah.
Without.
But they're not being.
Trying
to. But they're not being.
Particular in the individual.
But they're not being enforced. You know, they're not. It's
was,
not being.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that. What I don't want to see the board, the rabbit hole that the board could go down and say, well, this isn't fair to CERC to have to pay this.
Yeah.
But I think the ABC Corporation does need to pay more. And
yeah.
Now you're making decisions based upon individual entities. It should be based upon objective factors so you don't get into a sort of a discrimination type of issue.
Yeah, I agree.
Or,
yeah.
Or in,
I still want to see what the impact is. Because we may tweak some of the rates for everybody.
Well, exactly. So
yeah.
And I think that's relevant to see where the pressure point is for the community.
Right.
Certainly that makes sense. But I just caution the board to not make decisions based upon the individual impacts.
That's how it's being done now. That's what we're trying to correct.
Well, and we inherited it, right?
Yeah.
Now we got to
right. Okay. Okay, goals and objectives. Item 13, goals and objectives.
Have a printout where you collated for overlapping and that thing, or for the three of us, for the three that you've got, or?
Well, given the timeline that I got to create, no.
Got it. Thank you.
But plus we have two directors that haven't contributed yet, that have had some discussion they can. And it would be nice to have the collective from everyone.
I do see one that was communicated in all three that were turned in, which was creating a Parks and Recreation Committee. That includes community members. There have been several community members that have approached me personally, and I think Michelle as well,
mm-hmm.
with interest in this, and also people that have come to the meetings so far that have expressed interest in it, and I think that's probably one of an action item that maybe we should do now, because that could begin with generating more income for us if we were to create these programs right off the bat. So I think, you know, this is of importance to take, you know, the community members who have already been interested into consideration and maybe form some type of thing.
So you want to, okay, so you want to form some, you want to form a permanent, a standing committee that?
I think so. I think if we could get some people together, maybe on a monthly basis, or, you know, they could meet monthly and include some board members, it would only be able to be two of us, right, meeting with them?
Yeah, well, okay, so it's kind of a tricky way to handle this, and I think Director Schneider and I had some previous discussion on this before. In creating committees, typically what happens is that it's two members from the board, and that's how the committee would be the maximum board composition that can take place. The next issue is whether or not it would be a standing committee or an ad hoc committee. Now, if it's an ad hoc committee, it would be limited to a single issue of limited duration, and the committees would expire upon completion of that project. If those committees are not open to the public, and so having members of cherry-picking which members of the public can be part of an ad hoc committee, I would not recommend, because it would not allow other members of the public to participate. So you would want it to be a standing committee. With standing committees, my preference from a Brown Act standpoint would, I'm not a big fan of sort of these blue ribbon committees where certain members of the public are included as members of the committee. My preference would be is that it would be a standing committee made up of two board members. The meetings would be open to the public, so the public can participate in the same way as a committee member. There would, in that sense, there wouldn't, as far as the participation part, there wouldn't be any distinction. But because the committee is a committee of the board, then it should, the actual committee should really, in my view, only be the two board members. And then the two board members would then take that, a recommendation to the full board, and then all of that would be done publicly. So the members of the public would be an important part of the process. They just wouldn't be formal members of the committee. The committee would be the two board members that have been selected by the board. And then the committee would schedule the meetings. They would be open to the public. Staff would prepare an agenda in the same way that your agendas are prepared and posted now. Non-committee board members can attend, but you can't speak. And the reason for that is that you will have the ability to speak when the committee brings that item back to the full board. And the committee cannot take any action on its own. It has to go back to the full board for any action. So that would be my recommendation, would be a standing committee, two board members, open to the public, agendize all of that, and then with recommendations from the committee coming to the full board.
Could you do it without a committee to where they meet with the general manager and the general manager decides and gives us a report to the board if it's a cost type of thing or a program or those type of things, and he could present it?
Who meets? Is our members of the public?
Yeah.
Our hand-selected members of the public are meeting with two members of the board with the general manager.
No, I'm not even talking about the committee itself or members of the board. What I'm talking about is people got interest in doing stuff in the community, and they communicate it with Al.
Oh, sure, that can take
that type of thing. And then Al, you know, says, "Hey, that's a great idea. Let me present it to the board. See if they'll okay something like that."
Sure, that absolutely.
Except for you've got board members that are interested in
right
guiding that. So, seems like a standing committee would be really.
I think a standing committee is an
perfect
excellent
vehicle.
Idea. And I think that, and it allows more vehicle on that, for the public on that issue, and allows for more dialogue on that issue. I think the standing committee.
Perhaps less hours.
I just recommend that it be two board members.
Well, yeah. Natalie, I don't know how you feel about guiding the whole thing. I know this was a big piece of your interest in being on the board and such was the Parks and Rec. So if you want to guide that, then you know, we could go that route. I'd still really like to see more, I don't know if ownership's the right word, but from people in the public and our community that are super invested and committed to Parks and Rec. And
well, you can still, I mean, the standing committee can have a meeting with people in the public, and you can do that.
Yeah, but I don't really see how that's much different from these meetings. Am I missing something?
No,
I mean, it's the same. It's just that it's another time to come and meet and discuss.
It's just the
but it's the same
scope,
protocol and the same.
And the scope is limited, and no action can be taken.
Right.
No action can be taken.
Well, and Natalie, you know, yes, I had create programs for Park and Rec, but I also added that cover costs and make revenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it's not just adding programs going out there that this is a great, you know, let's have fun and do all that type of stuff. But we've got to cover the cost, and it would be nice if we had programs that made revenue mm-hmm. for the board and increased, you know, increase the revenue aspect of it. So that was why I had to create the programs for Parks and Recs mm-hmm. on mine.
Hi, John.
Yes, along this line, maybe it could be done via email. You know, the two board members could accept information from the public at any time, and then that way it could be, I don't know how that would affect the Brown Act, but...
I would recommend that it be done transparently. I mean, there isn't anything that prohibits a member of the public from, or a board member from discussing any item of district business with individual board members. That's kind of an important part of the process is for board members to have that conversation. It can be done electronically as well. It gets problematic if the board formally creates a committee. That is a standing committee subject to the Brown Act, and then the committee members are having electronic communications with the public outside of the view of other members of the public who would be interested. So I think in my view, it's a simpler way would be to create a standing committee. And yes, the meetings would operate in the same way, but a lot of times what you see is you could make it more of an informal type of practice by having a kind of a loose agenda and having a round table type of situation rather than this type of format. And you can change it up physically so that it creates the same type of environment as a regular round table meeting. But the actual committee members are the two board members that then report back to the board.
I don't have a problem with a standing committee if Natalie and Michelle would like to head that up.
I think it's an important thing, but it is not me that's driving this. It is all the people in the community that want to be involved in it that is driving it for me. And so,
well, you got to be the catalyst, you know.
Somebody Natalie, has, where are you on this?
You guys got to be the catalyst.
I mean, I can put in the extra time, but I'm wondering if there's a way that, you can, like, the CSD could appoint, like, a group to be the committee without, and then report to Al as Chuck suggested, and then we.
Yeah, I don't like it because Al is already at his limit on his hours, and I am just wanting to control that and keep that as low as possible. And if you and Michelle have an interest in this, then you guys should step up and do it.
Okay. If I could chime in on a few points. Okay. For one, I totally agree with Mr. Kennedy on how the format of the committee should be formed. Just to kind of bring up a point, and maybe Mr. Kennedy will remember this, but many years ago, there was a Proposition 84 that dealt with parks and recreation. The Beale, Pinyon Hill CSD put together a community member committee, and it turned out to be a bloodbath. These people wanted this, these people wanted that, these people wanted this, nobody wanted to work with these people, nobody wanted to work with those people. And then we had people who decided that they're going to represent the CSD to the state of California and were making contact with the state of California. It really became ugly. What we have done as a committee down there and what is being done probably every special district that deals with parks and recreation is that you have two board members. They sit down. It's a little bit more of a common roundtable type of notion.
you make an agenda, you have community members that want to participate, actually come and participate, you have a set time, you know, you be consistent with your set times. It's like this meeting today that we have is Tuesday at 7 o'clock, first Tuesday of the month, so you have whatever that meeting's going to be on a set schedule. Sometimes you have to flex that a little bit, but really try to stick to that set schedule. You'll have people coming in periodically that want to contribute or voice a concern or give a proposal. I much found the same line that Director Franklin had commented. You need to justify the expense. You got to come up with a budget on whatever that is. I sit on the Green Pinkin Hills Park and Rec Committee for the last 9 years, and that's how we do it. You know, you'll have people coming in from the public. They'll participate. Some will leave. Some will stay on for a while. Interests change, you know, and you need to do that.
But you got to have those board members drive it.
But you got to have those two board members drive it. One of them becomes the chairman of the committee. The other one is a participant of that.
Mm-hmm.
Down the same line that Mr. Kennedy had mentioned, the board members can attend the meeting, but you really, really, I don't encourage it. Because I've had people, other board members, attend meetings, and they start writing notes and passing it off to staff. They started, you know, they make all sorts of animated motions.
Yeah.
Yeah. The discipline not to speak is really necessary.
Definitely.
I think for me, I have seen some attorney general's opinions and some case law that's come down on these blue ribbon committees, and I just think it's bad practice to create different value levels for your public as to which members of the public you are giving greater value to in their comments than other members of the public. And so I'm just not a big fan of the blue ribbon committee concept. I think that it's important to get all of the public comments in. They all have the same value. And then you have the two board members that then take that and make a recommendation to the full board. You have staff. The staff's doing all the work and all the background work to post the agendas and to create the minutes. You know, minutes, you'll be approving minutes and all of that. So minutes are taken of the committee meetings. And so I think it's fair that the two board members selected by the board to serve on the committee, that they be the ones then to take back to the board any recommendation from the committee.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's all started from the district goals and objectives, but I don't want to. We got to get out of here at a reasonable hour. But I mean, is that something you're interested in and being on that, forming some kind of committee like that? Because you had a very strong interest in the Parks and Rec.
It's something I'm interested in. I maybe if we want to bring this up next board meeting and give some time, maybe for I know that I would like to be involved, and maybe Michelle or someone who wants some time to think about, you know, what it would take, because now I see that you've identified we'd have to have someone there to take minutes and all that, and so maybe if we can put some more thought into forming it. But I am definitely interested in being a part of that standing committee.
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a really good idea.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea about the minutes, again, I'm referring to Veal and Painting Hills. Often we don't have a staff member in the committee taking the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a board that one of the board members will make notations on, and we record all of those. And then the staff member can listen to the recording and look at the notes and make sure that it's on.
Okay, great.
Okay. Okay, so these goals and objectives, these are just for us to review, right?
Well, we need yours and Leah's.
Okay.
Well, the idea, let's get back to phase one. The idea is for the board to create some goals and objectives that the general manager can implement and follow and work on.
Mm-hmm.
This is a scale, a priority scale, 3, 2, 1. And these things are really kind of critical for the general manager to have an idea of what collectively the board wants to have accomplished. So the idea is to fill out this form, and then I can collectively put them together. I won't eliminate anything. You know, this
okay.
form's rather short. It can be longer. We can add. And then the priority, 3, 2, 1, is something of critical interest as well, because we can have something on there about one particular thing. We want blue lights on the stage. Well, if that's a priority to one board member, that high is a 3 and everybody else is a 1, well, then it will fall more down to 1.
Okay.
And that's the idea.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll get mine filled out.
I'll forward you mine. I have them done. I'm just going to get formal.
And Al, I apologize for not putting numbers. I'll do that before I leave tonight. They're in order.
Okay. So item 14, director's comments. I have one comment. I heard from, was contacted by one town, and they are rescinding their offer for the community garden and all the offers. So those are off the table. And I don't think it's, you know, the whole idea of it was that, you know, one town wanted to make sure that the CSD was properly funded, and this might be a way to do it during this cash crisis, and you know they were going to pay for the insurance and all that stuff, but you know it seems like we have the money now, so it's not as big a concern. So they're pulling it off the table. And anybody else got any comments?
I just want to acknowledge to Wes and Al and whoever else has been involved in getting the money from the county. It's really nice to see that on the budget
yeah.
this time around, and I know you guys put a lot of work into making sure we got all of the money that
yeah.
we owed instead of what they initially wanted to offer up. And so thank you for that commitment, that all those hours and the work.
Yeah, so far so good. We'll see when it, as it winds down
yeah.
around June.
Is there going to be any more additional blocks of revenue coming in?
Yeah.
And what's the forecast on that?
Well, you've got the April money coming in. So we've got about 60% of that money, you know, so we've got about another 50 grand coming from that. And we've got more solid waste money coming in, so there's more money coming in. So we should be okay. Now keep in mind, we have a big payment due in April, right, the skate park.
Yeah.
$27,000 just for that.
Yeah. When is the election payment due?
Don't know. I haven't talked to them, and they haven't called me.
Good. Don't bring it up.
They haven't called.
I know we got to face it though. I got to call them. We got to deal with it.
If I could make a suggestion, a trivial suggestion, but I believe we have an ad hoc committee with Leo and Wes
yeah.
involved, and perhaps we need to meet sometime this month and go over a lot of these issues and start.
We still need to talk to Rigney. Still owes us $46,000, and that's on my mind. But I want to talk to the elector's office and make sure that I understand what we owe.
I got one point.
Because LAFCO said one thing and they said another.
Yeah, last meeting, I think, we had talked about a CSD credit card for Al. Have we moved any direction on that?
No.
Okay.
No. No. Not a thing on that.
Is that something that the board would have to do, or how does that work? If we decide to do it.
Yeah, well, we should, because it's a...
Well, it's tough to keep asking Al to put money out of his own pocket before...
Is he doing that, really?
Yes.
Fantastic.
He actually wants to get repaid for it, though.
Oh.
But,
you know. Well,
I signed some checks today.
Yeah, we just have to get a credit card. I haven't done anything on it. I haven't done a thing on it. And I think we could just... maybe go to the bank and get it through the bank. I'll talk to them about it.
Okay. I can perhaps get the application. And,
mm-hmm.
Or we can do it together and talk with them.
Yeah. We need to talk to them about it.
And just sit down and see what we can iron out.
Is that something, as president, you can do, or do we have to have a board, or what?
Well, I think the board has already weighed in on what his...
The spending limit.
Yeah.
So I think that
the mechanism.
So the policy is already in place.
It's just the mechanism.
It's implementation now. So I don't necessarily think it needs to come back to the board, but that's
we can certainly report it though.
If the board wants it to come back to that case.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we will. Okay. Any other director's comments? Okay.
I just want to tell everybody Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
That's where we didn't say Merry Christmas to everybody. Yeah. Got out of here so quick.
Okay. Item 15, communications. I don't know what we're supposed to do on this one.
We don't have it.
We don't have it.
Okay.
That's just a placeholder. If we have something that, say, if we have a flyer that deals with the chamber.
Oh, I see.
We would put that in our packet. If we have our own event, we would put that information in there. You know, there was mention about doing another Greenways Day, you know, that type of thing. We sponsor that, so we put that in here.
Got it.
As well as distributed everywhere else.
Okay.
The placeholder.
All right. Future board meetings, agenda items. So it would be February. Somebody have a calendar?
Put my calendar here.
February
6th is right. Anybody have anything they want to put on the agenda that's
We're going to
in particular?
Just to make note. I guess we're going to readdress goals and objectives. We're going to readdress annual rental fees.
And the certificates of appreciation.
Conflict of interest. It's like the same. It's like we didn't do anything.
We can do it well.
Yeah, it looks like 8, 10, 11, 12, and 13 are all impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, 14 and 15. Your phone number. But 17 will always be there.
Okay. Is that it, you guys? All right, meeting adjourned. Sorry, Bob. Didn't hear it.
In my comments about the fire danger, and I mentioned several organizations should get together. My off the cuff, I forgot to include county fire. So county fire should be included.
Any idea, Bob, who would be the best? If it's on forest land, so we got to go to the forestry and say we'd like to bulldoze part of it.
I would hope that we could pull a meeting together with you or your designate in Doral. And,
probably John knows.
John Troop and the fire engines. And,
mm-hmm.
and get together and see what they can do.
Is there any hope on that, John? I mean, will they cooperate with something like that? I mean, sending the bulldozer down there through the forest?
Actually, John Hayes, this is something that actually has been on the agendas for the Fire Safe Council for some time.
Yeah.
Just to be real quick because of the time, that area has been recently, last year, masticated some 30-some acres by Angeles Forest. Prior to that, there was a fuel modification that was done on the Sheep Creek property that's down there. The mastication doesn't show unless you actually know what to be able to look for. You can't see it just from the highway. So there has been work done on this.
Oh, okay.
But the Fire Safe Council meeting is an appropriate place to be able to address
yeah.
that, because we've got representatives from the Forest Service, from County Fire, and from Cal
Fire. And if you need something from the CSD, like a letter or something like that, I mean, or some participation, I mean, we can do that. Okay.
Last week, I was talking to one of the captains for Fenner Crew, Camp Fenner, and they said they work with the CSD down in Felipe Hills, Hellendale, and they'll be glad to work with this CSD, and under those circumstances, you know, they come along the highway and clean out the brush, too. So whether that would be part of, you know, not their jurisdiction, but their, you know, we can contact those people there.
Okay.
Directly.
Yeah.
And ask for help, and they'll come and do it just any time, as long as there's not major fires in the area. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay, meeting adjourned.